D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service, and we are proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingen, and David Janes here with you. Big win for the Predators last night. A 5-1 win against the Dallas Stars. They're peaking at the right time.
It's not how you start, it's how you finish. I would be saying
if the Predators were going to the playoffs, which they're not, which we've known for a while. The Predators season is over. A satisfying conclusion to an incredibly disappointing season, but it was a disappointing season nonetheless. The Predators finished the season with a 30-44-8 record. That's quote-unquote good for 68 points. And there is plenty of time to sift through the wreckage of this underwhelming season, to say the least. But I want to jump right into it, and I want to start with the central question surrounding the Nashville Predators. What is the fate of Predators head coach Andrew Brunette? Because that's the question that a lot of Predators fans are asking themselves right now. And we're not going to have a conversation about should they fire him, yes or no, because there's not a lot of nuance in that type of question. I want to attack it from a couple of different angles. The question that came to mind to me yesterday is, if Andrew Brunette returns as Predators coach, how can the franchise sell that to its fans? And I'm not saying it like, how can the franchise sell that to its fans, like in a angry sort of way. I'm legitimately curious about this, because if you heard Barry Trotz yesterday with Jared Stillman, and we're going to play a couple of those cuts for you, some interesting questions and answers from Jared and Barry Trotz yesterday at Bridgestone Arena. If you listen to Barry Trotz, it certainly sounds like Andrew Brunette could be returning for another season behind the bench for the Predators, but we don't know. So I want to hear from you right now, 615-737-1025. If Andrew Brunette returns as Predators coach, how can the franchise sell that to its fans? Is there something that they can say that can make you feel better about the idea of Brunette returning as coach? But I also want to give Willie and Derek the opportunity to answer that question. There are a lot of different ways we can answer it, but let's just start there, Willie. Brunette, we know, at least I know, and I think you know too, and Derek as well. I think Brunette is a good hockey coach. Is he the right coach for this team? That's a different question. But at the end of the day, the Predators, I looked this up, the Predators' over-under point total before the season on ESPN Bet was 98.5, and they finished with 68 points. Not even close. The second worst season in franchise history by points percentage. The only team worse was the inaugural team in 1998-1999. But I've talked enough. Willie, if Brunette returns as Predators coach, how can the franchise sell that to its fans in a way that it might be, I can't say it would be satisfying to them, but have we seen enough from Brunette, even through this disastrous season, to think that he can be the right coach to lead this team back in the right direction?
When you say sell to the fans, are you saying from a business perspective?
I think what I mean by it is, if Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette hold their season-ending news conference, which I believe is going to happen sometime next week, and Barry Trotz, for the purpose of this discussion, says, I know that this question is going to be asked, so I just want to get out in front of it. Andrew Brunette will be our head coach next season. But Barry is then going to have to explain why he's making that decision.
Right. I understand.
That's what I mean by sell. I'm legitimately curious.
But you said sell to the fans. I I think the more important question is the group of veterans that will be back, are they the ones that are sold on that?
Is that
the right priority? Because honestly, I don't think it should be, well, the fans are going to be mad if we bring this back. So that's it. Now, if there's a business person above, and this does happen in organizations, right? I know it happens in college where the boosters go, the coach is going to have to change the offensive coordinator, or we're not donating money, or, you know, all that. There's been a lot of leverage. But I don't think that's how the Predators organization rolls. And I agree with you. There will be some people. We know how sports work. When you have a bad year, the coach usually is the fall guy. And so you would have to fight that. You'd have to be strong enough with enough conviction to say, you know what? I understand the fans are ticked. We're all ticked. We had a bad year. But we really believe it's not the coach. If you believe that, then you should bring back, if that's the conclusion they come to, and listening to Barry yesterday, I thought he did a great job. And Jared, I thought did a fantastic job of really getting to the nuts and bolts. And honestly, I think Barry Trotz is still weighing what to do. He kind of made a case of keeping Andrew Burnett, and he also said the decision is not made. He's got to do some more exit meetings, talking with ownership, talking with hockey ops, all of the things that you do at the end of a season before he makes the decision. But I think if you are convinced internally that the best decision is to keep your coach, you cannot be influenced by the fact that, and I do think it's a fact, a lot of fans would, just from the 10,000-foot view of watching the team every day, say, well, they had a bad year, so change the coach.
I agree with what you're saying. What I meant by sell it to the fans is I agree with you. The Predators are not going to make a decision on Brunet based on what the fans say. They are not going to sit in their conference room and say, the fans are going to be really, really mad if we bring Andrew Brunet back, so there's no way we can do it. To your point, if internally they feel confident that Brunet is the right coach for this group, my question is, I'm curious about how they go about explaining that to the fans. Because, also to your point, there's not a lot of redeeming qualities about this season.
There are none. Let's get right to it.
Fair.
There are none.
Totally fair.
It's the worst season in history based on expectations. That's a fact that nobody can argue.
Right. So there are going to be fans that hear right. that and say, well,
that's
if
my
this
point.
Is the worst season in history, how can right. you bring back the coach?
Right, because those aren't people that are in there every day and know the people and know all of the factors at play as much as Barry Trotz and the hockey ops people who make that he surrounds himself to make that decision. They've been vetting this for months. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing about this, is they have been analyzing this for several months since, because they've been off the rails for about halfway through the season. They pretty much knew they weren't going to be in it.
Before we get Derek's response, I do want to play one of the clips from Jared's interview with Barry Trotz yesterday. Jared asked Barry Trotz point blank if Andrew Brunet would be returning as coach next season. This is what Barry Trotz said.
So are you ready today to say, hey, Andrew Brunet is coming back next year as the coach?
No, not at all. I'm going to go through a whole process. Like I said, I'm going to talk to every player. I'm going to talk to every coach. Going to talk to all our management, and our decision will be based on that, ownership, everything. So I owe it to players, myself, management, all the owners. I got to do that process, and there's no time frame for me. Probably next week. Once I get through all the meetings, then you know we'll sort of see where we are and go from there. But you know, Andrew's a good young coach, and you know, part of all this year is based on. I'll put blame on myself, put it on the coaching staff, and I'll put it on the players, because we have to do that together, and we didn't get it done.
See, this is interesting because it's sort of, in a way, like the John Hines sort of episode where at the end of the season, you know, Barry, listen, for you could say a lot of things about a lot of people within that organization or that team. But the one thing that is constant with one of these people in that organization that I know, that's Barry Trotz. He's going to be patient and methodical and think things out. That's what he's going. He's not going to allow a situation or a person to pressure him into making a move that he doesn't think he's in the right or he doesn't have all of the information to move on. He did it with John Hines. He said, I will evaluate things after the season. I will talk to the players, talk to everybody else, get a sense of what's going on, and then I will make my decision. While we all wanted him, not all of us, but the large majority wanted him to make a decision right there. But he didn't. And he's going down that same path again. It's about those guys in the room. And I think one reason he's really going to be critical in this situation is because he brought these guys in here. So he can't just put all the blame on the head coach without, you know, absolving some of it as well.
Absolutely.
You know, so he knows that these are the guys that he wanted to go get, and you got to coach him. And I'm not saying that Coach Bruno wasn't, they were not in sync with these guys, but this was his we are going for it moment in a sense. Like, these are the guys that in the next, this year or in 3 years, we are going to put ourselves in a position we're going to win a championship. So when you do that as a GM, you better, at the end of it all, if it's not going well, you better cross every T and dot every I. You better. Because if you go off and fire the head coach and you continue to do the same things, the teams are going to be in the same situation. And eventually, it's going to be your job that people are going to be looking at. So whatever decision I think he makes, I think he's leaning more toward, because he understands how much of culpability he has in this, I think he's going to allow Brunette to come back another year. But that's only, I think, after talking with the guys and seeing what the temperature in the room is with those guys. If those guys are good and they think Coach Bruno is the guy to move forward with, then okay, we're going to ride. But even as much as Barry would want to take on some of the blame, if the players don't feel it, you got to let him go. You just have to, because a lot of these players, and he talked about the core guys, a lot of these players are going to be here next year. Your core guys, the group of guys, especially the three you went and got last year, they're here. So they better like the system. They better like the coach. There better be a mutual respect with one another, because if it's not, Barry has no choice, but no matter how much he wants to take blame and wants to run it back again, he has no choice but to part ways.
I agree with everything the two of you have said. I still remain curious about how the Predators would, for lack of a better word, you know, portray that to their fans.
Now, if you're talking about from a ticket sale, because this is something that I said about the Tennessee Titans, and I've said this over and over and over again.
These are their consumers, after
all.
Yeah,
and I've said this over and over again with the Titans. Like, they better get it right, because when they move into that stadium, I understand they're telling us the ticket sales are great and all that other stuff, but there's one thing to tell us they're great, and then the first day it opens, you don't feel the good team in that building, and nobody shows up after the second or third home game, because the first home game, people are going to come because it's a new stadium. But then if the product ain't where it needs to be, they're going to quickly leave. And that is what I think you sort of – that's what I interpreted by what you're saying, that how do you sell it to a fan base that have been loyal to you? Because eventually, if you don't get it right, what happens? People start walking out the door.
As Willie said, there is really nothing redeeming about this season.
No.
And did they have some just god-awful shooting luck? Absolutely. Did they also struggle to generate high-danger scoring chances on a regular basis? Yes. Major parts of this team regressed significantly on both ends, particularly defensively.
Yes.
And I know that at the end of the season, the Predators were fielding what could generously be described as a preseason lineup on defense. But the defensive coverage issues predate all of those injuries. They were struggling defensively before Roman Josi was hurt, before Luke Shen was traded. They were struggling defensively. They took a major step back in terms of their ability to defend. Offensively, they could not score after bringing in 240 goal scorers in the offseason. Like, on the surface, everything took a major step back. And usually, when that happens, someone pays the price. So that again, is my question. Is, if I'm at that news conference next week and I hear Barry Trotz say Brunette's coming back, I'm not sure if he'll say it so plainly, but if he insinuates that that's going to be the case, I'm really curious how he explains why he feels Andrew Brunette is the right coach, considering all of the things that happened this season.
Well, because I think you can't overlook how well they played last year, and that was Andrew Brunette. So I think it's a nuanced answer. And I will say this. If they choose to bring Andrew Brunette back, we get those emails every year. Who's the coach? It's every sport. It's not just the NHL, obviously. We'll get it in August when training camps start for the NFL. Who's the first coach that's going to get fired this year? What are the odds? Yes. And they'll start listing them. Andrew Brunette will be right at the top of the list. Mm-hmm. I promise you, if he comes back, along with probably a couple other coaches that, you know, are chosen to get another shot, but will start the year on the hot seat. Happens every year in every sport. So that will be a fact, no doubt about it. But I think you hit on, to me, the number one question for this team in the offseason is, how do they regain the ability to defend? It all started. I know they were the 31st highest scoring team. We talked about shooting percentage. To me, the biggest root of the problem is they did not defend well. And you see what's happening. If you're watching Dallas right now, mm-hmm. Dallas is got to be internally, I don't want to say panicking, but extremely worried, because they cannot defend right now. Nashville, they played their whole lineup last night. They were trying to, hey, let's just beat up on the Predators. Let's play everybody. Let's not rest anybody. Let's play our starters. Let's go after it. They come in and score a goal right at the start of the game. Yeah, here we go. Now we're building momentum. They lost their seventh straight game last night. You know why? They can't defend right now. Nashville got crisscrosses. Nashville, who doesn't score many, lit them up. What do you think Colorado is going to do with them in the playoffs if they can't fix that? If you can't defend, you cannot win. And the Predators all year long struggled to defend.
615-737-1025. We'll start there. The Predators' season from hell is over. The second worst season in franchise history by points percentage. By far the most disappointing season in franchise history relative to preseason expectations. Your thoughts on Andrew Brunette, where the Predators should go from here, and is there any satisfactory explanation that Barry Trotz can give you if he decides to retain Andrew Brunette as coach? 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines, as always, are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tune into 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on Charlotte. Pregame begins at 5:49 p.m. and the first pitch is at 6:04 p.m. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure.
Do you think that Andrew Brunette is getting through to Marchessault? Do you think that Andrew Brunette has the respect of the guys whose respect he needs to have? Marchessault, Stamkos, Forsberg, Josi, that group.
That's something that I'll investigate. That's why we do exit meetings. That's how we talk to players and coaches and all that. That's an important piece for decision making. Some teams do it a little different. I don't have the coaching career that I had. I don't think we have the foundational pieces in Nashville. If David Poile would have fired me again, you know, year two, we were able to build something together, and that's what I want to do with Andrew and anybody I bring in as a coach in my tenure as a GM. I want them to be part of a family, part of Smashville, part of the culture, all that. That's very important. So you know, I think, you know, one of the things that, Andrew and Marshy have in common is they're the same player. They're the exact same player. If you think about Andrew's career, Andrew was a top of the circles to the goal, below the goal line, created offense and was terrific at it. And so was Marshy. So, and Marshy has some holes. Stammer has holes. Roman Josi has holes. Connor McDavid has holes. And just meshing all those things together and understanding what the strengths of every player is and really buying into those strengths, as well as trying to find the pieces that work with those strengths. And maybe that's where the discussions come. What pieces did we need for those players?
That was Barry Trotz with Jared Stillman yesterday. Another important question that Barry Trotz is going to have to answer. Does Andrew Brunette have the respect of the veteran players on the Predators who are going to be around for a while?
Yep. I think that would be my second question. After my number one question is, how do you get this team to defend better? That question you just asked to me is the second central question.
Let's get to some of your reaction on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One texter says, the question is, do you risk a third slow start and a coaching change in the middle of the season or not? If he's on a short leash, why not do it now? The franchise will be worse off with a mid-season firing because time and coach availability is down. One texter says, Austin says, I don't care what Bruno did last year. The question is, can he get this team to the cup right now for me? The answer is no. One texter says, I really think Trotz will take some of the blame because the team really did not have a top-line center or a 1B defenseman to play next to Josi. I think that's how he sells Bruno staying. And, Will, you and I were talking about this during the break. And Barry
Those are very insightful texts, I think. Yes. All have merits, all of those things. And you heard Barry Trotz refer to, when I was a second-year coach, David Poile was patient with me. Mm-hmm. Don't forget that history, because I do think that resonates with Barry Trotz.
Barry Trotz has done this throughout the season. Whenever he's been on with Jared, he's also done interviews with other outlets where he has said similar things. To me, the way I think you sell, quote-unquote, Brunette coming back is Barry Trotz falls on the sword, so to speak. He says, I underestimated, which he has said many times before, I underestimated the amount of time it was going to take the legacy players, as he calls them, Stamkos, Marchessault, Shea. I underestimated the amount of time it was going to take those legacy players to adjust to their new surroundings. I misread our center situation. I should have been more aggressive in acquiring a play-driving center, for example. I think it was reminiscent of different circumstances, obviously, but after the Predators were swept out of the first round by the Avalanche in 2022, and these questions persisted about John Hines, David Poile put the blame on himself. Said, I gave John Hines a difficult hand. This team is not as good as other teams have been. I did not make his job easy. I think Barry Trotz, if he wants to, again, sell the idea to the fans, because it's going to take a lot of convincing for a lot of fans if Brunette comes back. I think Barry Trotz falls on that sword and said, I screwed up. I could have done more to help Brunette. I didn't address the roster the way I should have, and I will rectify that going forward.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, you know, yes, you can do that. And that's what I said, you know, as far as Barry taking his time, knowing that this is not, you know, solely on Coach Bruno. I'm the one that went out and earmarked these guys. I'm the one that thought that, you know what, the chemistry, it'd be built very quickly because these guys are pros and they can handle it. And he didn't take into account, you know, maybe this may not work as quickly as you think. So he's going to take his blame of the pie, and he may take more just to sort of, you know, get the heat off of Bruno. But make no mistake, if he walks into those exit meetings, and those players, one by one, especially the guys, his core guys, because he said, I got to talk to these guys. Yeah, I got to talk to these core guys. I got to talk to the guys as well as other coaches. But if they walk in there And to a man, make it seem like Coach Bruno isn't the guy, no matter how much of the sword or the blame pie he eats, he has to move. He has to part ways. He has to. I think that's why it was probably so hard to part ways with John Hines, because maybe some of those guys in the locker room, to a man, they like John Hines. They liked him as a coach. But Barry just felt that the organization, hey, we just need to go in another direction. Yeah, I know you guys may like him, but this go around, I think, you know, especially those guys that he just brought in, guys that are going to be here. If these guys, along with some other guys, say he's not the guy, you got to part ways with him. You just have to, for the sake of the chemistry in the locker room.
Willie, you've touched on this throughout the season, and I would love for you to expand more. You've mentioned that Brunette, perhaps at first, maybe was not as open to making adjustments to a system, but over time realized that he needed to make adjustments to a system. He was open-minded to making adjustments to a system. You know, how did you see that progress over the course of the season, if I'm remembering what you said correctly?
Yeah, but that goes back to your original question of, if they choose to bring Andrew Brunette back, I think you will hear Barry Trotz take a lot of accountability, because I do think that is a big part of it. It's just so simple in a form like this, talk radio or on social media, to say it's the coach's fault, it's the quarterback's fault. Or in hockey, it's the coach's fault, it's the goalie's fault, right? Look at the goalie's numbers aren't good. Look at the quarterback's numbers aren't good. They got it. That's the problem. That's the problem. And it's so much more nuanced than that. And so I think Barry Trotz is going to ask himself, did I give Andrew Brunette the personnel that fits his system the way last year appeared to be a fit? It really looked good. But this year, it didn't. It did not adapt, and it didn't go well. And you mentioned the legacy players. Brady Shea, Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault, so all in three different places for a long, long, long time. And they did not adapt quickly and flourish at all. In fact, it went the other way. That puts the coach in a really tough bind. Now, is every coach going to be able to just magically say, okay, well, I've got to tweak this here, tweak this there? He absolutely did that, Brunette. But it didn't happen fast enough. They weren't able to, quote, find ways to win games in the meantime while they were trying to figure it out. So they were in a storm early, and he was not able to navigate them through the storm. Now, if you want to say that should cost you your job, okay, that's fine. But remember, also, he's a young coach. He hasn't been a head coach for very long. Is it possible that a coach can develop and learn from a bad year of how to handle it better next time? I think that's a question Barry Trotz is going to ask, because remember Barry Trotz. He lasted here for 14 years or 15 years. You think he was as good a head coach in year two or three as he was in year 10, 11? I think as you get more wisdom and you go through a lot of journeys, you get better at what you do. And so I think that is something. Remember, too, Barry Trotz handpicked Andrew Brunette. This would be one thing if this was still the coach that was the carryover from the David Poile era. It might be a little bit different for Barry Trotz, but Barry Trotz is building this. This is his Predator franchise. This is his handpicked coach. To bail on him after 2 years, I think, would be something that would be tough for him to do. So I think at his core, he doesn't want to do it. But also there is the counter argument of, if I'm going to try to bounce back next year, I can't just be a little bit better next year. Bouncing back a little bit is, they're going to be better next year. But they've got to be way better if they're going to get back into the playoffs and have a chance to win in the playoffs, which is what they want to do with this group.
By my quick math, they missed the playoffs by 28 points. The St. Louis Blues were the second wild card team with 96 points. The Predators had 68 points. So you're right about that big bounce back. 615-737-1025. We will continue to take your reaction as we begin the autopsy of the disappointing Predators 2024-2025 season. Call us, text us, 615-737-1025. Tune into Totally Hits 93.3 tonight as the Nashville Cats take on the Washington Wolfpack. Pregame starts at 8:30 and kickoff is at 9, with coverage also available on the Totally Hits 93.3 app and at totallyhitsnashville.com. Tune in today to 102.5 The Game for Vanderbilt baseball as the Commodores face Georgia at Hawkins Field. Pregame begins at 5:45 and first pitch is at 6. Coverage also available on the Game app, Game Nashville app, and at thegamenashville.com. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Wrapping up our Predators conversation, Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, will join us at 1 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on this as well. Also, the upcoming Stanley Cup playoffs, which begin on Saturday. Some more texts on our text line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Mike in Lebanon says, I love Trotz, but I blame him more than the coach. He needs to give the coach the player he needs. One texter says, and this is an interesting question that I think we can tackle here. I like Barry. I'm asking as a person new to hockey, is Barry a good GM? It seems like he struggles building a team. Well, he is a new GM. David Poile trusted Barry Trotz to be his successor after decades of service. And early on, Barry Trotz, no pun intended here, everything he touched seemed to turn to gold when he first took over.
Yeah, I don't think that question would have come up last year.
No.
No.
Right?
No. Because he was part of the sell-off a few years ago. David Poile made the trades, but Barry and David had said, you know, said that Barry played a role in it, if I recall correctly. You know, the trades of Tanner Jeannot and Matthias Ekholm and Mikael Granlund and Nino Niederreiter. Then Barry Trotz buys out Ryan Johansson, buys out Matt Duchene, brings in Ryan O'Reilly, Gus Nyquist, and Luke Shen. O'Reilly and Nyquist were excellent last season. You know, there was a lot to like about what he did. It seemed like he was hitting all of the right buttons. And this past offseason and this season, it didn't work the same way. You know, the free agent acquisitions didn't pop in the same way as O'Reilly and Nyquist did the year before. You know, Tommy Novak quickly showed all of us that he was ill-suited for a top six center role in the NHL. Barry Trotz did a lot of redecorating this season. We did this exercise yesterday. I believe the count was eight players who were in the starting lineup for the Predators on opening night against the Dallas Stars were not in the lineup last night in the season finale against the Dallas Stars, solely based on players who were either traded or waived. Gus Nyquist was traded. Dante Fabro was waived. Luke Shen was traded. Alex Carrier was traded. Mark Jankowski was traded. Tommy Novak was traded. He did a lot. Scott Wedgwood was traded early on in the season. A lot of redecorating. So I think that Barry Trotz has shown that he does have some chops at being a good general manager, but he's still a young general manager in terms of experience. So I to answer the question, I think he can be a good GM, but this season he certainly took a step back in the personnel department.
Yeah, I think for everything that went wrong right last year, it went the other way this year. So his batting average is evened out, right? So time will tell. I still go back to something that gives me some hope is I don't think you can discount enough, or I don't think you can emphasize enough how noble it was for David Poile to hand off the reins to Barry Trotz by replenishing the draft capital, the assets that Barry Trotz has to work with. Yeah, left him in a good place. He didn't have to do that. A lot of GMs that are thinking, this might be my last kick at the can. I'm going down with the ship. I don't care what happens after I'm out of here. He went the opposite way. And so that was very, very admirable, I think. And so Barry Trotz, if you really listen, I know everybody's emphasizing, you know, Marchessault and all these guys. Barry Trotz keeps saying, he likes what's coming through the pipeline, but it's going to take time. And it takes a long time, right? Just ask San Jose, ask Anaheim, ask Detroit, ask all these teams, Chicago, how long it takes to develop a farm system sometimes. Nashville's no different. And now they're going to get a top 5 pick to go with that, which they never get since the very, very first year when they had to get it. They were a new team. They've only picked in the top five one time. That was the fourth pick in 2013, Seth Jones. So that is the other thing that is going to help Barry Trotz at least have a chance for success over the long term.
Wes in Clarksville wants to know, Willie, if Barry's been sleeping on the plane, like Rand Carthon, allegedly.
There you go. There you go. See, the things that people fixate on, these are the things that you...
I know it was more tongue in cheek.
I know. But this is, again, if you hone in on stuff like that, like unfortunately happened with Rand Carthon, and use that to justify why a guy's good or not at the job, then we're not analyzing properly here.
Yeah, I think it goes back to, listen, I know that I was responsible for putting this team together for the most part, and I'm talking about Barry. So I have to, you know, think about this possibly a little bit different than I did the last go around. Because, again, as Willie noted, listen, he was left, meaning Barry Trotz, with things seeming to be, you know, in good standing, at least, especially for the future.
He was left in good hands,
exactly.
A war chest of prospects and draft picks.
Absolutely.
But not an existing group of core players. As you said, the middle class. Gentry Entrance is the one that coined that. I got to give him credit on that. But the middle class of the roster is the weakness, and that is what he inherited.
Yeah, so he inherits a team. But he also inherited a coach, you know? So when you evaluate that coach that you didn't bring in, you evaluate him differently than the coach you did bring in. And the team you set up for that coach, yes, you know, he did take some of, you know, the blame for, hey, listen, we put, you know, especially with some of the trades in the middle of the season, we put Coach Hines in a bad situation. He made the best. We didn't put him in a situation that was ideal because of the trades. It ultimately ended up working out well because the guys played pretty good, you know, in the second half of the season. But he stood up and he said, I didn't put him in the best position, but he went out there and he coached his tail off, and that team was pretty good. But it's different when you brought that coach in. You can say that about Coach Hines and know you put him in that situation, but still let him go because I didn't bring him. He's not my guy. I may like him, but he's not my guy. But it's different when if I bring Willie in and, you know, I go get all these players for Willie and it doesn't work out. Now it hits a little bit different, you know, even though I may say some of the same things, but man, oh man, I'm the one that brought him in. Not only did I put the players on the plate for him, I mean, not only did I bring him in, I put the players on the plate for him. So more times than I think in this situation, Barry leans on, if I had to go one way or the other, I think he's leaning on more so to keep, you know, Coach Bruno, and then allow things to happen as the season goes next year.
One thing that I find fascinating about Barry Trotz and his place in all of this is when Barry Trotz came back, people were thrilled, right? We all know Barry Trotz. He was ingrained in this community. He helped bring this franchise along. He's a great guy. He's meant a lot to this city. People were happy to have Barry Trotz back. And I was always curious about, I wonder what's going to happen when, or if at the time, if things start not going the right way.
Right.
Because of the warm and fuzzies people have for Barry Trotz. Now, people have
And I think couple that with they wanted something new because David Poile had been here for so long.
Right.
And I don't think there was – David Poile doesn't know what he's doing. I think there was just a lot of, hey, what would it look like if we had something different? And you get somebody like Barry Trotz, who was revered by that same fan base.
I remember writing after the Predators announced the succession plan that David Poile's decision to retire was the most popular decision he had made among Predators fans in a very long time. So I agree with you there. And people were happy to have Barry Trotz back. I know he experienced this as a coach, I'm sure, near the end of his tenure in Nashville. We love Barry, but it's probably time for a change. But I'm just, I find it fascinating, and they'll be curious to see how the perception of Barry Trotz as a GM continues to morph over this offseason and in the coming seasons, just because of the reverence he has among Predators fans. Because I've seen
right people, and the credibility, he's got a Stanley Cup since he left here as
it's
a coach.
It's buying him time, I tell
it's
you that.
It's buying him time, and his connection to the fans buys him time. Right. But I agree with you that if you know he's now going into the fire, right? This is the first adversity he's facing. And, you know, nobody can struggle forever before there's a ton of heat.
I've seen texts to this effect over the course of the season. If it wasn't Barry Trotz, that GM would be on the hot seat right now. It's only because it's not. It's only because it's Barry Trotz that he's not on the hot seat. Well, I do think that, and the decision with Andrew Burnett is going to play into this, because I would venture to guess that it might be an unpopular decision among Predators fans if Burnett returns, and that's on Trotz. So he wears that. So I am very curious to see how that perception changes over time.
And my closing comment on this will be, I thought it was a great quote that Andrew Burnett gave Kara Hammer last night on our last post-game show. She said, you know, what's the message to the players as you leave them? Of course, they're going to have these one-on-one meetings and everything before they actually leave. But he said, this whole season we've been in the fog, right? And so let's take a few days, let's take some time to let the fog clear now that the season is over. And he says, and I think then we'll see things more clearly. On shows like this, I think all of us want to be able to put our finger on the one guy, the one thing. Here's what's wrong with the team. It's the coach. Or, hey, the goalie wasn't very good. And, oh, my God, it's a lot of different things. When you're this below expectations, it's not one thing. So I would ask people not to just fixate on the coach. There are a list of things that they've got to correct if they're going to turn it around. What did you say, Adam, 28 points?
28
to get points. back into playoff position. They're going to have to turn this thing around 28 points. That's a tall order. And only the mindset change, the fresh start, the unlucky puck luck, which is documented, that can only take you so far, right? There's other answers that have to be there for them to make that leap. And it's not as easy to say, well, just change the coach and everything will be all right. It's much more layered than that. Like, on these TV shows, when you see, like on ESPN, who's to blame? Let's play the blame game. It's so much more layered than that.
615-737-1025. We'll park that conversation here. We'll pick it back up at 1 o'clock with Elliot Freeman from Sportsnet. But coming up next, Nico Iamaliava apparently has a new home. We'll discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingham, 1025-1063. The game.